This is Channel Two Right. This is Channel Two Right. And this is the beginning of Shirley's tape on for Wednesday, the 27th of November, 1968. First time I'd seen her since way back in the spring. This is Channel Two Right. Channel Two Right. And the beginning of Shirley's tape, Wednesday, the 27th of November, 1968. This is Thanksgiving week. This is Channel Two Right. This is Channel Two Right, and the beginning of Shirley's tape on Thanksgiving week and Wednesday, the 27th of November, 1968. Now, this is one of the remarkable tapes. At the end, she relates what happened to her that night when she was out on the road herself. It was the first trouble I think they ever had in their family, the very first trouble. This came from Berman's grown daughter that he'd hardly ever seen, so not since she was a baby. I don't know what the details were, but it was a question of mixing the families. That little family is what she lived for.
And just walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And we started a new hobby. Bonnie had to have some bird feathers to identify birds with in school. So we started on a hobby, and we go out every now and so often look for feathers that the birds have lost, and we made a big scrapbook.
And you really find
the feathers in the scrapbook.
I didn't realize that.
And about 2 years ago, we went to a zoo, and this big parrot lost one of his tail feathers. And Berman reached in the cage and took it out, and brought it home, and we've kept it all this time. So we've got a parrot feather now, which is very rare for us to find.
You see, that's nice out there. It goes up that old fence corner. But over here, you know, you go clear around there.
Well, Berman likes it, the trees, you know, when they turn the color, all in the wintertime. But springtime is my favorite time of the year. Everything looks so dead this time of the year. It just... me
is. I don't particularly enjoy looking out over that old...
It gives me the blues to look at that, and the cows out there, you know, wanting grass. And
well, I was going to stop up there and see the cows.
You have to go down into the corn to see them. They say down back there eating that corn all the time.
I saw them from the fence. They was out.
Wow.
Well, you know, halfway over there in the pasture. And I wanted to ask you now, how was your program last night?
Wonderful. Oh, I was so pleased with it. It was just a little junior band, you know, and the seniors weren't there to help them out this time. But I thought it was wonderful. But some of those kids haven't been playing for 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hardly hear a mistake in the group. It was good. I mean, he is wonderful with those children over there. And
who is in the...
This is Mr. Letts.
Who is performing?
Johnny, the oldest.
Johnny.
He's the only one that's...
Johnny's big now,
isn't he? He's in the sixth. He's 11.
I haven't seen him in several months. That makes a big difference.
I think he's going to be tall. Boy, he's almost tall as you are, I believe. He's taller than I am.
But he's growing when I saw him.
Great. And he's all legs.
Yeah.
And
be
both of his feet are left. And his, nothing but thumbs on his hands. He's going through an awkward stage. But I wish he'd hurry up and grow through it.
Yeah.
He makes me so nervous.
Yeah.
But I guess they all do that.
Oh,
he can't walk across the room without stumbling down. I told Berman he started to cross the stage last night. We both held our breath. Laugh? No one else knew what the conversation is about. Neither one of us thought he'd make it to the other side of the stage without falling.
What y'all gonna have? Just eat pies for Thanksgiving?
No, we're going down to his daddy's and some of his relatives down there tomorrow. I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay home and be here as a family. He wanted to go down there and spend... He wanted Daddy up here, but Daddy would get lost if he got to the bus station. Got off the bus, he'd start wandering around, we're afraid. So we were afraid to let him come up here, and he hasn't had time to run down there after him. So we're going to throw everything in the car and leave real early in the morning and spend the day with him.
Yeah, and then come on back.
And then come back.
Yeah. Well, it's 100 miles.
Yes, quite a, well, the station is right across the street from where Daddy is, in his place.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't heard about the station. How's that coming?
We've got a man in there, and he owes us around $1,000 worth of rent. Can't get him out. He won't leave. He's been in the hospital and been sick, and he hasn't been able to work, and we've been sympathetic with him all along, but we've had a buyer that's been interested in buying the place, but he's losing interest if we can't get these people out so he can buy it.
Why?
So we've had to get a lawyer.
Sure.
And the lawyer is giving us a runaround. He wants money on one side, the people owe us money on the other side, so here we are in between just waiting.
You know, I never heard of that before.
Before they'll finish, before they'll even take this to trial, to court. But, I don't know. I think I could have handled this a lot differently if I'd have been doing it, but Berman's the one that wanted to do it this way, so he went ahead. But if I had handled it, I don't think it would have cost us a cent. Because we had, you see, he was not only renting, he was buying the place, and he had an option to buy after he paid so much rent. And he fell behind his rent. He began to drink and run around down there, and he wasn't taking care of the place. He was tearing it up and wouldn't rebuild it.
Uh-oh.
And he's really made a mess.
Uh-oh.
So,
no, you can't do business the way that you
I think all Berman had to do in the first place was to go to the sheriff and sign a complaint and have him put him out bodily. That's what it's ended up now anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff's going to have to go in. He's supposed to go in today.
But you're in that hole with him. You'll never get any of it.
Yeah. No, we'll never get any. Well, this has happened before. We've been, the fellow before owed us $2,000. The one before that owed us $3,000. So it's getting better.
That's one.
That's taxes every year. Keep going up, naturally. And the repair of the station, if we could go down there and rebuild and remodel or repair or whatever we have to do, it would cost us quite a bit. But we'd deteriorate until it's just about to fall apart.
Well, there you are.
So we're not going to. But then again, he built the station himself, and he paid for that ground where the station is.
Berman built it?
Uh-huh. He built it, and the gas company came out and put the pumps in and everything. For a while, they owned the pumps. And then we were paying them so much of an interest on it, we just turned around and paid them off so we wouldn't have that to fool with.
Oh.
So we own all the equipment and everything that's there with the station.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about 209 feet on the highway. There's a room up there for another business alongside the station. There's a home that sits in the back.
Yeah.
But we were talking about it the other night. We have it up now for sale. We dropped the price down from $27,500 down to $20,021. Real estate man's part of it. And I told him last night, I said, rather than to have him worry so much with the station, auction the thing off.
Auction it off.
And just be done with it.
Get what you can out of it. It'd be at least you can sleep better.
I don't know what it would get to.
You got a new well?
Yes, there's still some house out here. It's all hooked up, ready to hook up.
Yeah, I didn't know whether you'd be over there.
That other one burned up, so we had to put a temporary line, onto this here, so we're using the same. But when we get through with this, when we move out of here, we'll just cap this part off and use the other line, you see, for the
what's
other house.
What burned up?
The other pump down there at the... It just started a fire one night.
I wonder they don't do that more. They get to running, you know, and it won't trip.
Yeah.
Mine does.
This
one of mine does.
And
it gets so hot I can't put my hand on it sometimes.
Well, that one down there, several times it ran like that, and he'd hear it during the night and run down there and turn it off. And this one time, he was on the tractor out there, and I was cooking inside, and I happened to look out the window, and everything was ablaze.
Yeah.
The man got him on the tractor, and he's just getting disconnected with electricity and everything, but...
Well, this is not a new well.
No, this just, well has been there before. It's a 2-inch well.
Yeah.
And they had, Vernon had quite a time hooking that thing up. They had another pipe run on, 3/4-inch pipe inside the 2-inch pipe.
Yeah.
And it broke off something or other way down in there.
Yeah.
And he got out here by himself and pulled all that pipe out of that hole. And I bawled when we sold it. It was one of the 3 heifers that you sold. And the man, I think, is going to sell her back to him. Because he's going to move off or something or another. And she has a little calf. She was 3 months old when we sold the calf. And I think he's going to sell both the cow and the calf back for the same price we sold it. So we couldn't miss. I mean, we're not making anything that way, but I'd rather have the cow back than the litter. Let him take it to market.
Oh,
I told him, I said, if you ever take that cow to market, I said, you call me first.
You've got all these good cows, and as big as they're some place for them, you don't have to go clear out of the cow business.
Well, I don't know. We were wondering about what we were going to do here a couple of months ago. Here, when I had this sort of paralysis, I couldn't do anything. Berman couldn't be here to work with him. And we just made out the best we could, but I've been doing somewhat better and been sending to him now. So, there for a while, we didn't know what to expect.
You know, it's kind of hard to run somebody off in business, but, you know.
Better than he is there, really, when he was out here. When he, you know, set his mind to working here, but I don't know, he just got discouraged or something. Started looking for... But now he likes the people there so well. He's used to the job, the hours, and he's really not working very hard, but... it's enough to keep his mind going, I guess.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to come back to this. I wish he would, in a way.
Well, if he's not going to work it, there's a lot of property to handle.
For nothing. Just sitting here. But I'm hoping if we can get this station to move like he said the other night. He said if we do sell this station and turn around and put it back into this place, he wants to buy more cows. He still talks about clearing more land, and he's not using what he has got. Well, in a way he is, because he puts up hay off most of it down here.
Mm-hmm.
He wants another hay field. Well, we can use more hay, not for our cows, but we make quite a profit on it when we sell it.
Yeah.
So, he'd like to clear up some more ground and put some more Tangola hay in it. Up.
And then he does that custom work.
Yes. And he was always busy with the tractor going someplace or another to work.
Yeah.
So he stayed busy. I can't even tell you. He was always busy.
Oh, yeah. Well, you talk about learning. Hell, everything he did out around here, he learned something, you know.
Yeah.
Everywhere he went, he talked to somebody.
And he's the easiest for picking up things that I never dreamed that he could do.
Yeah.
Now, when he was out here laying his tile in the bathrooms in the house out here, I didn't know he could lay tile, and he didn't either. He said he'd never laid any before.
Yeah.
He watched that guy for a few days and let the guy go, and he finished it. And
is
you can't
right?
tell where he began where he ended.
Yeah.
He just did a beautiful job on it.
Now, who did you get to do the tile? Started.
Well, Mr. Fowler over there at Hawthorne.
Yeah.
He started it.
But now he lives there in Hawthorne.
Mm-hmm.
He don't work there.
Yes, he works out of Hawthorne. He works for himself. He's independent.
Oh, is he?
Uh-huh. And he goes around most of. Don't hurt Connie, honey.
Did he take contracts and things?
Well, he doesn't contract. He just works by the hour. Or by the day, or by the job, but he won't contract a job.
Yeah.
So he did for us. He worked by the hour because Berman could see what he was doing. He'd go home and Berman Oh.
Yeah.
He'd cut quarters where those quarters should be cut.
Yeah.
But he would go out there and do a little work and keep going, finish the day out, and then Mr. Pollard would come and take up where he left off.
Yeah.
Which made it true.
He didn't care.
No, he was getting paid for the job or for by the hour, and he didn't specifically care.
Oh, it's interesting to watch fellas like that, you know.
That got me when he went in there to put that tile work. He didn't know how to do it. He didn't know how to go about it, and he wasn't going to attempt it himself. So he went to get Mr. Fowler to do it, and then after Mr. Fowler got started, he let him go, and he finished it.
Well, he just keeps you nervous every now and then.
Oh, yeah, I told him, I said, you stay out of my kitchen. He wants to put the covers and everything in the kitchen. I said, you stay out of my kitchen.
Yeah.
When he builds things, it's supposed to last for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
His idea of building is so sturdy
that
for me, it's hard for me to pick anything up, you see, or open a drawer. If I go to open a drawer, it's so heavy and sturdy that it's a job to open. I want to be able to stand there and talk to the drawer and let it slide out, but he doesn't.
Well, he got that big Keith Sankey, you know. That's
anything, anything he does.
That bull fence he put in over yonder.
Anything he does goes to quite an extreme. Well, I guess he claims he doesn't want to have to go back in a year or two to rebuild. But still, there were times I think he could eliminate such.
Well, it's kind of hard to cut out like that. You know, when my friend Don
Hicks longer to enjoy what he's built to stay there for years.
He can't wear it out, certainly.
That's what I keep telling him. Every time you build something, it's so sturdy that it takes two men to move it. He made a gun cabinet in there for his guns. Of course, they weigh a lot, but I dread moving that thing to sweep behind it. I told him, I said, if you build anything from now on, you put casters on it so I can push it.
Shelly, you look nice and healthy.
Well, that's no problem. I just keep gaining weight.
You don't
although
always,
I've lost 35 pounds in the last 2 months.
You don't always feel as healthy as you look.
No, I got to be quite an anemic. My blood was way down.
Anemic?
Yes, I was. I was terrible. Very much so. They thought I had leukemia. And I went in and had to take special shots. And I'm still on special medicine to build it up. And it's up to 14.9 now, which is pretty good. And I've been feeling somewhat better. But there for a while, I was so tired and run down, I just didn't feel like doing very much of anything.
Yeah. Well, it would make you feel that way.
But,
oh yes, that anemia can really make you feel miserable. Just a touch of it. I've seen it do it so much. We've had it in the family.
The letter here. Well, it's been the middle of September, and that was the day then that I realized everything was my health was gone haywire. But I was a nervous wreck, and I went to the doctor, and he found my blood to be so low in the first place. And he found that I had arthritis trouble. And then my nerves went to pieces.
Why?
I was ready to kick the bucket, I think. But they've pulled me out of it quite a bit here in the last couple of weeks and months. If I hadn't, I was ready to give up. I went last Thursday, though.
I'm glad I got it.
And he's got my hands where they're working.
Yeah.
When you get up and you try to do something with your hands and they're so stiff you can't move your fingers, that's a puzzle.
I never heard of anything like that. Heard of anything like that.
It puzzled me. I didn't know what in the world to think of it. He still doesn't want to rule out a possibility that it might have been, it was caused from shock. He knows that. But the possibility that it was multiple sclerosis. And this is what he's doctoring me for. He's got me on a very powerful medicine in me. And I've taken so many pills, Berman, that I look like a walking, talking pill factory.
Yeah.
I have to have them. If I don't take them, I can miss one day. And the next day, I'm just ready to collapse. You know.
I never heard anything like that, Shirley. And then it happened to you.
Well, it would have never happened I guess I caused a lot of it myself. There were a lot of worrying, but Berman was of no help during that time, so it really... You see, he was married once before, and he has a daughter, and he hasn't seen her since she was 15 months old. And the daughter and the mother is causing quite a bit of trouble for us. And I didn't know how to cope with the situation, and it just seemed like it was one letter after another, and every time I'd get one, it would be something else to cope with. And it was creating quite a problem.
And you weren't feeling too good.
No, and on top of that, my health was so bad, and then it all caught up with me.
Well, look, Shirley, I read, you know,
back in 42.
Yeah.
Is it the same one?
Same one.
Well, I've read a lot on her work.
Yeah, she's good. And what she said was,
you have to get your ideals, and when you think everything is going along just the way you want it to go, and you don't think you have a problem in the world except to try to keep up with the everyday trend and up with what Johnny wants, what Bonnie needs, and it just seems like your everyday troubles are enough. Then, boy, when you get a pot full of them, all of a sudden it's hard to stir.
Yeah. Well, now, this little thing down here at Ocala, your service station down there,
I know he works at the university. He makes enough for everyday needs and our bills and whatnot to take care of all of this place.
Mm-hmm.
With the cattle and the little bit of cows that we do have and the hay that he brings in. Then once in a while he gets in this crop business. But then now that didn't pay this year, but although the cows now are getting the benefit out of it, I'm not as disheartened about it as I was, because they look somewhat better, but he did lose the crop there during that storm. He wouldn't have made any profit anyhow. He's probably going to have about even.
Oh, you mean on the corn?
On the corn.
Oh, that hurricane got too much of it down?
Yeah, it got this they picked this field here, that one down there in the far field. They only got about half of that before the storm got. And the fella came to Berman, he left it sitting here for 2 weeks before the storm came to go put up hay. You see, he had too many irons going. He had hay, he was trying to put up hay, he was trying to pick peanuts. So he said he'd be back in 2 or 3 days. So he went off, put his hay up, his peanut hay, and he got this up. Well, he was gone 2 weeks. He didn't show up. In the meantime, here comes the storm. And it blew down. So we didn't make anything on the corn. Matter of fact, we still have about a $600 fertilizer bill to pay for it. And, now the cows are getting the benefit of what was blowing down now. Maybe in the long run we'll come out ahead that way. But he did.
That must be a
ear trouble. He has a fungus down in that ear.
Oh.
I tried to burn it out with medicine, the drug that the vet gave me, and some peroxide. I think the peroxide is doing more good than anything.
Oh, really?
He needs another dose of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, if he had a little more interest to put this place going, he could really make it to pay off. But what he does there for work. And
what is that animal out, Chanda? Two of them up there.
I was looking there a while ago. It looks like... Oh, he'd be gone.
Oh, don't tell me.
There was a little doe last year, and I didn't know, but she had a hole shot in the side of her. And she jumped right up. She jumped over this fence here. And then she sort of wallowed down. And I looked at that thing for the longest time before I realized it was. I wasn't expecting to see a doe. And I kept watching it, and I was talking to Berman on the phone, and he just happened to be looking up at me way. And I told him, I said, "Honey, I see a deer here in the yard. I want to go look at it." So I hung up the receiver and walked out there, and she looked at me and got frightened, and she went to jump over the fence, and I saw that hole in her side.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody had shot her, and directly
yeah.
I saw two hunters come up on a horse, and a couple of horses from down there.
Yeah. Poach. So you got work to do.
I'm through for today.
I haven't seen hire and a hide of your neighbors over there, Mrs. Guthrie. She and
Marvin
got married.
Yes, and she's had somewhat of a health problem also. She's had spurs on her feet that she's having trouble with. I had to go to the doctor.
Her high blood not bothering her?
Yes, it's bothering her some, and she has nerve trouble too. And I think I caught this all from her. Don't you tell her that. No, she had a... what do you call that nerve condition? Shingles.
Yeah.
She has
this.
Oh,
that's awful.
She has this, and she's
fighting
a battle with it now.
Well, you talk about nerves, Mrs. Guthrie cusses so well.
Oh, boy.
She ought not to have a nerve problem at all.
Is that what it takes not to have nerves?
Well, you know
I think you have to have nerve to do it.
You know what to say, you know. Yeah, I've been over there when she just leaned back. You know, she used good language, but it was a tone. Yes.
Well, she can be rough when she wants to be. I agree with that. She's a... And poor Marvin, honestly, I feel so sorry for him. He can't do a thing that she doesn't bless him out for something.
Yeah.
And that to me, I don't always agree with Berman, but I don't belittle him like she does Marvin.
Oh, really?
I don't think that's right.
Well, I never heard of belittling him.
She does. Oh, my. I feel so sorry for him. I want to crawl in a hole myself.
You know, to tell you the truth.
Why that? He gets out and tries to do some things for her so badly. And they needed a new barn, and he got out and tried to work on the barn. Of course, he wanted Berman to help him, and Berman couldn't get to it right then. And he asked her to wait a day or two, and he'd get over to try to help. Well, Marvin couldn't wait, and he went and tried to do it himself. And he didn't get it exactly straight or something or another. And, you talk about language. I didn't know she could rattle it off the way she did, but she was mad just because the thing was out of plumb a little bit. Well, it was just a barn. I don't see.
Yeah.
I don't care if it had been my house, I wouldn't have.
Well, she wouldn't like mine. Mine don't look like I have a measuring stick.
Yeah. If Berman does something for me, or he gives me something, I'm grateful no matter how much it, what it is, how little it costs or how much it costs. And she's not like that.
How are they coming out with that? How are they coming out with that? All that expensive equipment.
Well, I think they've finally paid it off. And she
really?
Here about 2 months ago, she called me and she said she wanted to buy the fertilizer spreader. And I said, "Well, Miss Guthrie, you've used it all these years." I said, "Go ahead and use it." I said, "It's here. Come and get it and use it." And she said, "No, I want to buy it." And I didn't find out later, but Berman had been talking to Freddie Woods, and he told him that asked him if he wanted to buy the fertilizer spreader that he didn't have any use for. It's been sitting here for years, and he hasn't used it. So he always gets this liquid fertilizer. Because it's fast to work. So he asked if he wanted to buy it. Freddie wanted to buy it because he knew he put out some of his own fertilizer. Freddie said he didn't. He had all the equipment he needed. So he had asked Mrs. Guthrie, or told Mrs. Guthrie, that Berman asked him if he wanted to buy it. So she then thought that he was going to sell it, so she wanted to buy it. So I guess that's what the whole thing was about. But anyhow, she said if we didn't buy it, sell this to her, that she would go and buy one somewhere else. But she's always used it, you see. And here it says, and she could have still used it. She wanted to put some rye in, I think, for the cows.
Yeah.
And then it got too cool. The frost coming, and they decided they changed their mind. They weren't going to plant it too late in the season. So she never did bar, didn't come
but,
after.
But the hay, they've done all right with the hay.
They did very good this year with hay. They've had, they're not selling any. They've had enough just for their own cows, evidently, but they did get quite a bit up.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked there constantly for a couple of months, I guess, getting hay up,
cutting
and getting it in.
And he didn't have much help?
No, he hired one or two people during the time they were putting it up, and she drove the tractor for him, and he baled it and,
uh-huh.
and put it on the wagon, and then they'd restack it. And, I remember one night we had about 300 bales down. It was coming to rain that night out here, and he had around 300 bales down over there.
Oh.
And, so neither one of us could help the other. You see, we could just do the best we could and try to get what we could in.
Yeah.
And Berman and I started about 2:30. It was on a Sunday, 2:30 in the afternoon. He went down, raked, and baled it. And I went down with the truck behind them and loaded the truck and the wagon. And while he was still baling, and I started to the, no, I went to that barn and unloaded it over there. He restacked it. He stopped wanting us to restack it. Then he finished up baling while I finished up with another wagon, getting another wagon. And the third wagon, we went down to get another wagon load, and we were headed to this barn here. And I bet you that cloud was the darkest cloud I've ever seen in my life. And it was coming fast from this direction. We got to that gate down there, right down in the center, and we hit a bump. And I put that hay on there. It was the first time I'd ever had any fall off on it.
Oh.
I hit that bump. I was trying to make it to the barn like mad before that rain came. And that hay fell right over on one side. The whole side of it fell over right across the fence and into the calf. Oh, was he mad. He was so mad he didn't know what to do. That was the last bit, and it was just before 8 o'clock. It was dark, and I was just coming.
And that's all you like, getting it?
That was all we liked. And you talk about three tired people. Johnny helped. He was pretty good that night. He really helped us pretty good. And we got that hay restacked and got to the barn. And you talk about three people. It was black and as tar and so tired we didn't even feel like going to the shower. I mean, we were tired.
Well, what luck did
both of us cried. We were so tired. They got theirs in somehow. Toby Shearhouse, the guy that has that truck over there, he came by and he helped them get theirs in. And they got through way before dark.
Mm-hmm.
But we were still struggling. You know,
boy, that was a close call, wasn't it?
It was. And it come a pour the day. There was about four bales that got sprinkled on, just as the last four we put in the barn. And it poured and it poured and it poured. All that night. But I'll never forget that. Hey, when I saw it falling, I felt like Mrs. Guthrie, I'll tell you. I felt like using some of her language. I wanted to ask you for the last three times that I've talked with you. And each time I see you, I forget what it is. It's something about planning that I don't know too much about, but I've been wanting to... Oh, soybeans. Do you know anything about this soybean crop?
Not down here. That's what we made a living with up the country.
Well, they claim
that
around
took the
here
place of cotton and corn and everything else.
Uh-huh.
Price has gone down now.
It has?
Yeah. So much of it's been planted.
Well, I just wondered about that because I'd had several people ask why we hadn't tried it out here.
Now, they plant that. They've been planting that over the panhandle a good long while. But
how does the weather affect this? Does it have to...
I have no idea.
You don't know? I don't know anything about it. I want to get some literature on that.
No, I have no idea how it affects it down here.
I want to write to the agriculture department and see if I can get some...
You know, that's what
I'm going to run out of, and... Once in a while, I have a package or something to mail, and I run over there.
Oh, it's nice over there. It's nice to go and just visit. And somebody always comes around. Colored people are nice over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
They stay to themselves more. I mean, they're not as forward, I call it. They seem to be just...
You're talking about your trouble.
I'm doing just dandy over there at the school. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, everything's going to calm down now this year. And I went over there a few times. It seemed to me that the teachers were all nice and friendly and everything was going along the way it should be. But Johnny, he's the one I watch more closely than I do the others. I guess because he's the oldest and I want to try to keep up with his work more than the others. Last year, he was making straight A's in his work.
Sit down. If you're standing up so much, I'm afraid I don't want you to get tired.
If I sit down, I'm done for. But last year he made straight A's in his math. And it's his best subject. He's very interested in math. And this year he came home. I hadn't seen any papers, and I kept asking him to bring them home. This year he came home with a F on his report card in math. And I was upset. And I asked him, I said, "Why? What about this, Johnny?" And he says, "Mommy, I just don't understand it." So I went over to the school to have a talk with the teacher. And she said, she invited me in and talked with me a little bit. And she said, "Miss Dodd," she said, "I don't know what Johnny's trouble is." She said, "He just doesn't want to hand in his papers." I said, "Have you sat down and talked with him?"
Yeah, right in that order.
She said, "No, I don't have time to sit down and talk with him." I said, "Well, the boy makes an F on his report card. It looks to me like he'd try to do something to find out what the trouble is." And she said, "Well, I don't know what his trouble is." I said, "Well, let me see." I said, "Have you given him any modern math?" And she said, "Yes, I have." I said, "Well, that's your trouble right there." I said, "He doesn't know modern math. He's never had it." I said, "The girl does it, and she does wonderful modern math. But," I said, "I've asked Johnny to do some of Bonnie's problems or show her how, you know, she'd come up against one that she didn't know how to do. And he doesn't know how to begin to do modern math." She said, "Do you mean to tell me he's been going over here for 6 years and he doesn't know modern math?" I said, "It just so happened that he'd get a teacher that taught him the regular math." So this year, all of a sudden, she was giving him the regular math and then switched to do the modern math. And he wouldn't hand in his papers.
Oh.
And she said... she told me, she said, "I didn't know that he didn't know how to do it because I didn't see any papers." And I said, I went to Johnny. I said, "Johnny, why didn't you turn in your papers to the teacher?" I said, "She would have found out that you didn't know how to do it and helped you with it." He said, "I was ashamed because I was the only one in the class that didn't know how to do it."
Yeah.
I said, "Johnny, don't ever be ashamed of something you don't know anything about." I said, "Get somebody to help you."
Yeah.
Well, he had told me, you see, that he didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And there he left it right there, and he just forget his paper, or he just wouldn't hand it in or something. So we worked out quite a thing between us. She got him a tutor in there to help.
That might be helpful in the long run, you know,
so,
he'd learn.
Yeah, she understands now that that she wasn't taking enough or asking enough questions among the group. She come to find out there were 7 boys and 2 girls in that group that had never had modern math. In her class.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they all made S on her.
Yeah. You know when you got a big
party. Well, we've enjoyed having the children all together at one time going places in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, before we had to leave one or two of them home or with the neighbors or someplace. But, the children enjoy it quite a bit.
Well, you need one car to get
places. It takes a little more gas
than
that other one did.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
I'd rather spend for the gas and have the children with me.
Big as a Cadillac. Berman, don't you drive that to the office?
He likes his little old truck.
Yeah.
He had truck problems, and he'd been driving the truck up till recently, but he's been working on the truck now, and he thinks he's about the trouble fixed.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to get the seats reupholstered. They're kind of uncomfortable. They claim that the teachers are still having quite a problem over there. And I didn't know until the other night that they're trying to get rid of an assistant principal over there that's been my right arm with my children. He's just been a world of hell. But there's a lot of not caring or something. And then the music teacher comes to me and he complains that the things over there aren't the way they should be and they're causing him a lot of trouble because he wasn't
They're in groups. They're in several different groups. And this group doesn't like that group.
The teachers.
Just like little children.
The teachers.
Yeah. And two of the oldest teachers is over there. I've been there for quite some time. They're real dedicated teachers, and I've yet to find anything that I can complain about their work. And several of these other new teachers are fighting these old teachers for something. I don't know. And it's an open battle. Anytime you go over there, they shun one another, or they won't even speak to one another. I walked in during a lunchroom cafeteria.
Now that's happening in the schools, yeah. Of all places.
It's so petty.
Where your children are.
Children all know about it, and it's hard to teach the children one thing and then the teachers do another. And
why?
Yes. They have had their.
You know, I haven't been to Sunday school in a long time. I'm sort of ashamed of that. But I sort of burnt out. I just sort of burnt out. And I'm ashamed of it.
You're healthy and full of vip and vinegar, and here I am. I feel like I'm...
You look better than I do.
Oh, dear.
Looked like when the discussions were always so petty. They weren't bad humored, ill natured, but it seemed like we never got anywhere. Looks like I get along better just staying home reading the newspaper.
School and things have just been so dull that I haven't been able to keep up with them. I should be home cooking a roaster. I should be home putting dinner on the table or something or another.
This is not doing anybody any good.
Yeah, there I'm sitting and I'm not getting a thing out of it. And it's a shame to be that way. If they can't have a good, interesting sermon for me to listen to, I just my mind wanders, so I can't stay with them.
Yeah.
With the subject.
I sit down and get sleepy. It's so comfortable in over there, you know. Shelly is awesome.
I killed myself. That was the day that I finally came to my senses.
What is that?
Over there on the Evanston Road, I'd like to kill myself, wreck the car. And that's the time that I was in this. It's been around the end of September. I went for a ride doing about 90 and 100 miles an hour, and I came up on that Evanston Road about 3:30 in the morning one night. I've never been out of the house after 8 o'clock. Okay, honey, I'll get it. And this one night I had to get out and think things over, and I was crying, I was screaming, and I was having a heck of a ball for myself. And I come across the one of the train tracks, there's a train coming, and I tried to beat the train across the track. I did, but that didn't bother me. I went on to, I think I was in Ocala. I don't remember. But anyway, when I left here, I don't remember going out that, only going down the laneway. And I left here just after dark, and it was 3:30 in the morning when I came to my senses over there at Evanston, on that road just this side of the store. And what happened...
Hi, bud.
I was trying to get away from...
Long-legged.
Yeah. I don't know where he's getting him from. Neither is Daddy or I are that long-legged.
That's right, Berman's not long-legged. Hi there.
I came upon a yearling bull. And Berman, what was so odd about it, Berman had just been over there before dark to get some medicine at the drugstore, and he stopped and he told Mr. Woods that his bulls was out, or his yearlings was out on the road. And he stopped and helped Mr. Woods put those yearlings in.
Yeah.
And then he came on home. And then he and I had been having quite an argument during those 3 days. And then that night I took off right after dark, after some words that we'd had. And I just wanted to get away and I could talk and think to myself. Think straight and think things over. And I come on that bull about 3:30 in that morning. And the bull was standing there right in the middle of the road. And I either had to go one way or the other around him. And I was still crying. The tears were still rolling. And they were in my eyes, and I couldn't hardly see where I was going or what I was doing, and I was going at a high rate of speed. And that bull just so happened, he jumped to the right. If he had jumped to the left, I'd have hit him, and that would have been the end of the story. But he jumped to the right.
Bye.
I swerved to the left, and I sort of lost control of the car when I did, and it went up on one side, sort of upside of me, and I pulled over to the side of the road, and I shivered. I shivered and I shook, and the nerves in the back of my, see there? See them stiffening out?
Mm-hmm.
I shivered and I shook, and these nerves in the back of my neck just started giving away, and I couldn't control myself. And I just started shaking all over. And it came to me that I wanted to see the kids right then and there. That's all I wanted to do, was get back to the kids. And I got that car started, and I came on home to see them. And he was gone, and he'd gone out looking for me. And
3 o'clock in the morning?
3:30 in the morning. This all happened that night, so I was worried. And but if I'd have hit that bull, that would have been the end of the whole story, but it just so happened he jumped.
You just leading a charmed life that night, weren't you?
Oh, that night, I'm telling you, if that bull had been there any earlier, if it had been earlier in the evening when I ran upon him, I'd have probably hit him for the heck of it.
Is that right?
But, I don't think I'll ever lose control of myself again like I did that night. I didn't think it was in me. It did go that way. After hearing things that he said and it hurt me something terrible, I just didn't want
to. Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it.
Well.
You know, the pieces. But I don't think Mr. Woods has ever had the idea that he was almost one bull short.
He didn't really know what a close call he had.
Well, I told Barbara later, he got me to lay down. He'd come in and got a hold of me and tried to make me rest, and I was just a bunch of nerves. I'd lay down and gone to sleep, and I woke up screaming about a bull, and he asked me what I was screaming about a bull for, and I told him, I said, well, I'd almost hit a Mr. Woods' bull over there. No, I almost hit a bull on the road, and he said, where did this happen? And I said, over at Evanston. He said, I told Mr. Woods to keep that bull in his yard. It's all so funny now, in a way.
Yeah.
In a way, it could have happened again, I suppose. But boy, that night I was ready to leave everybody behind.
Well, you're getting your family back part a little at a time.
Well, as long as we have no trouble from the outside coming. You see, his ex-wife is still right.
That's the end of this tape. That's the end of this remarkable tape. That is the end of this remarkable tape. That is channel 2, whatever it is, around 6:25.